We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Any team that reaches the Sweet 16 in college basketball had to go through some challenges, some ups and downs, some really difficult situations. This year, more than ever. And for Michigan women's basketball, consider their journey to this point. First, two totally different opponents and totally different styles of games to get to the Sweet 16. In the opener, Florida Gulf Coast, an electric offense. That first round matchup was a back and forth scoring clinic until Michigan clamped down defensively while continuing to score. Then you've got that defensive slugfest on Tuesday night against Tennessee, but Michigan was D'ing up better and taking advantage of more opportunities on that offensive side. It was far from pretty, but the Wolverines were the tougher team, the more engaged team, and the better team to get to the Sweet 16. Then you consider the history. This program had never been to the Sweet 16 before. Ever. You could feel the steady improvement for this program under Kim Barnes-Orrico. Higher ranked recruits year by year. More wins. More consistent postseason opportunities. But this stage had been the hurdle, had been the roadblock until Tuesday. There's still plenty available to Michigan women's basketball in San Antonio, and they will still be striving for more. They're not satisfied at this point. But to get to the ultimate prize, you have to break through some barriers and overcome some past hurdles. Michigan still wants four more, but they are in the Sweet 16 for the first time ever. No matter what happens from here, this team, this season, will never be forgotten. It's a first for this program. Let's talk about it with Kim Barnes-Orrico and Haley Brown right here on this post-game edition of Defend the Block.
We're talking Michigan basketball. Welcome to Defend the Block, where we'll take you inside the basketball programs with interviews, analysis, and so much more. Now, here's your host, Brian Bush.
70-55, Michigan knocks off Tennessee. The Wolverines advance to the Sweet 16. Oh, what a tremendous accomplishment. We'll talk about it with Kim Barnes-Orrico, with Haley Brown here momentarily. First, though, a reminder that Michigan basketball's postseason journey, which is 4-0 at this point, is presented by Absopure. Absopure is a proud Michigan company since 1908 and the official bottled water of Michigan athletics. As Michigan basketball journeys through the postseason, hydrate like a Wolverine and enjoy a bottle of Absopure natural spring water, available in Meijer and other grocery stores in the state of Michigan, or brought right to you with at-home delivery service. To learn more about Absopure water, visit absopure.com. Absopure, the official bottled water of Michigan athletics. Let's start with the head coach, Kim Barnes-Orrico, who has been incredible for this program. She has taken this team to new heights even before this accomplishment. But this one, it's the one that resonates most of all. You are judged by what you do in March and in the NCAA tournament, and Michigan has climbed further than it ever has before. Kim Barnes-Orrico first, Haley Brown after her. I hope you enjoy these conversations. We are with head coach Kim Barnes-Errico here on Defend the Block. And coach, you knew the history, you knew the roadblock that this program had endured at this stage, the second round of the NCAA tournament. Every time before, you get past it, you do it against a national power. What were those emotions like when the clock hit zero, the team runs out the center court and celebrates, and Michigan women's basketball is in the Sweet 16?
Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, it's just an incredible feeling. And, you know, I said a lot when before I came to Michigan, I was at St. John's for 10 years, and we got to the Sweet 16 in my last year there. And then I started to do a little bit of research on it, and I saw actually how difficult it is. You know, people think that's just a part of, you know, if you're a coach in college basketball, you get to the Sweet 16. And I went through and I looked at some of the greatest coaches I know in the game, and they didn't get to the Sweet 16. So it's not an easy thing to do. And when I left St. John's after that year, we went to the Sweet 16. You know, I left two future WNBA draft picks because I believed in Michigan. And I believed that something special could be created here. They had done it in every other sport, whether that was football, men's basketball, softball, field hockey, tennis, gymnastics. Every team at Michigan was a champion, but it hadn't been done in women's basketball. And that kind of drew me to this university. But it's not me. It's the players in our program. So then we had to get players that believed that they could make a difference and believed in themselves and believed in the vision and want to come to Michigan. And that takes a little bit of time. And, you know, we talked all week with our players about the people that came before them because they laid the foundation, you know, and this, you know, this is for all our alumni. And this is for all the people that came before the team tonight that's reaping these benefits because you made this possible for all of us. And we really talked about that this week. And, you know, when I first got here, I was able to inherit a tremendous team that went to the NCAA tournament 2 years in a row. And you know, they were a great team and they kind of showed me the ropes. And then, you know, we were able to recruit some great players, whether that was Sierra Thompson or Madison Rostovsky or, you know, the Caitlin Flahertys and Jillian Dunstans that came after them because they believed that they could make a difference. And they did. They hung a banner. That team that won the WNIT championship, they were snubbed by the NCAA committee and they went on to prove them wrong. They hung a banner, the first banner for women's basketball in Chrysler. And then, you know, that winning brings other people here. And their foundation, you know, led to Hallie Thome, you know, committing here and making that decision, led to Naz Hillman following her. And, you know, it's people like Hallie that believe that they could come and make a difference that got Naz here. And, you know, Naz is an All-American. And when you have an All-American in your program, that's your hardest worker, that's as unselfish and selfless as she is, that is committed to the team's success first and foremost, that's going to allow you to create something special. And with that, you know, we have great leadership and great experience with Haley Brown and Akenray Johnson, two kids that decided to come back this year that really hesitated and weren't sure about it, but really believed that we were going to have something special. And, you know, it's just something that has never been done before and just so proud of our group, proud of the people that came before them and just happy for Michigan.
I think all of us wanted to see basketball no matter what type of roster your team had, Juwan Howard's team had, any of our other favorite sports teams due to this pandemic. It has been a distraction. It has been a pleasant thing for a lot of people that you and your players are able to provide. Because you knew this team could be special, did that make you more and more anxious for the potential challenges and hiccups of the season? And when you were sitting there waiting out that 2-week pause, I have to imagine a vision of this possibility had to be motivating you to get through that tough part.
Yeah, Brian, and I think that's part of the reason we are here where we are today is because of all the things we had to endure and all the things that we had to go through. And there were so many times we felt during the season we may have been disrespected or we may have gotten the recognition that we deserved because of the pauses. And, you know, we even talked about as a team, there may have been three, potentially four games this season where we had our whole team available. I mean, and then, you know, Leah Brown was out for 35 days. You know, we were a team that started the year 10-0, and then we weren't even recognized by the NCAA committee, selection committee, as a top 16 on either thing because we hadn't played enough games. And then we had to come back off the pause, and our makeup games were the top teams in our league. So we're headed to play Maryland in a makeup game where some other teams in our league were headed to play the lower half of our league in a makeup game. And that caused us to finish fourth in the league, you know, potentially, we don't know. But you know, it just felt like we were not rewarded for, you know, the success, but we were almost penalized for our pauses and things that were out of our control. And I think that was all motivation for our team to be where we are today. And we kept reflecting on, okay, all these things they're going to be for something. There's got to be something bigger for us because we're doing the right things and we're staying socially distant and we're, you know, trying to stay COVID free and we're committed to each other. And just one thing after another thing kept throwing itself at us. But like I said, I just think that speaks to the culture of our team. And I just think it speaks to the character of our kids that they were so resilient and they continued to just battle through whatever was thrown our way. And I had a Big Ten coach, Lindsey Whalen, reach out to me a couple of weeks ago when we were going through all this stuff. And, you know, we were supposed to play them. And then we had the Iowa game that was delayed 10 hours and had to play that night. And then the next game was supposed to be Minnesota and theirs was canceled for COVID reasons. So she reached out to me and she just said, you know, I love your team. And she said, my team last year that I coached, and she was an All-American player at Minnesota and went on to play in the WNBA and played for the Olympic team. She said, my team that I played on at Minnesota never won a Big Ten tournament game, but we went to the Final Four. She said, I see that in your team. So just remind them not to get discouraged. You know, I was there. She said we had a 7 seed and we went to the Final Four. And I use that message with our team. And you know, I can't speak to how proud I am. And for us to be able to do this with our men and, you know, we share the same building, it's really special. Coach Howard, and I know everybody sees, you know, nationally, but it's not a front. That's who he is. And we are his Michigan family. From the day he stepped on campus, he was front and center at all of our games. He's the greatest fan of each player in our program. He knows their history. He knows them by name. He congratulates them. He follows our stuff and their boys the same way as we do with them. So for us to be able to do this for Michigan and for us to be in the same building, and I don't know how many teams are left with both their teams in the Sweet 16, it's just pretty incredible.
Yeah, as of right now, Baylor will be in the Sweet 16 in both. There's a few other teams that have an opportunity. UCLA is the only other one that is seeded higher in the women's bracket that also made it in the men's. It's a remarkable accomplishment, and it speaks to a lot of the conversations that you and Coach Howard, I know, had during the season and the struggles you both had to encounter. I mean, there isn't another person in the world who can relate to the same struggles as you as him. You were the two basketball head coaches at Michigan during a pandemic. I mean, there are things that he would understand about your struggle and you would understand about his that no one else could. I have to imagine that's been a dynamic all season long.
Yeah, there were many a times I would run down to his office when we were hit with something and he'd, you know, just let me talk and just, you know, talk through it because we had to be there for each other. And most times there wasn't an answer. We were in unprecedented times and we were experiencing things that hadn't ever happened before. And he would always say, the COVID is real, you know, the COVID is real, you know, and we would just try to always just be there for each other. And I know our players were always there for each other too. And the experiences that both teams had gone through, I don't think we would have made it, you know, through the way we have without each other to lean on, because no one else knew and no one else was experiencing what we were experiencing other than their team and our team. But just to know that we could count on each other through those times was absolutely incredible. And I know our players counted on theirs and their players counted on ours. And, you know, you see the tweets that Hunter's making, you know, for our team or for Nas, and, you know, Nas is making for Hunter, and it's back and forth with all of them. We just have a great respect and appreciation for each other, and we've helped each other through probably the toughest year in history.
I do want to ask you about the game itself. It was, in terms of flow, in terms of pace, very different from that first game. And that's kind of how you have to do it in a tournament setting. You win an offensive battle against Florida Gulf Coast. In this one, your team shoots 38%, but boy, Tennessee looked flummoxed offensively. It seemed like every time they made a run, your team counterpunched. What did that resilience show you from your ball club in a completely different style of game that we saw 2 days ago?
Definitely. And I think, you know, Florida Gulf Coast is a tremendous, tremendous team. They had won 25 straight games. That was an incredible first round matchup. And Brian, I don't know if you know this, but most people didn't pick us to win that game. Most people out in the media, most people nationally didn't pick us because it is such an incredible matchup. And that because they do things that other people around the country don't do. I was super thankful that we had a few days to prepare. And, you know, coming from the Big East, Villanova was a team that played a similar style. And, you know, I was able to steal some of my notes from back then and really prepare. And I thought defensively, we were able to defend them probably better than anyone could have. I think they would have beaten a lot of teams in this field for sure. But then the ability after that in a quick turnaround to then go from a team that takes the most threes in the country to a team that takes the least threes in the country and has the size and number one rebounding team in the country. Woo! You want to talk about turning the page. Our kids are there. Like I get back to again, their experience and their maturity is next level. But still, even though it's next level on a turnaround of a day prep, are they going to be able to do that? That was my question, and I was super nervous about it in the last 48 hours. Holy cow, we're going to have to flip the switch to something completely different. But then it gets me back again to, you know, you have a Kenray Johnson, who's arguably, I believe, you know, one of the best defenders in the country. And then you put alongside of her Haley Brown, who doesn't get any credit because what she does doesn't show up in a box score. But defensively, she's undersized, guarding 6'5 kids every single night and trying to block them out and trying to help. And her IQ is off the charts. So those two are so smart, you know, and now you add experience to that in Nas and Leah and Danielle and Maddie and Emily Kaiser. You add that experience to that, and those kids can pick up on a quick turnaround, and they showed it tonight. Their defense was fabulous. I mean, next level. For us to hold a team with that size and that athleticism to 55 points was just unbelievable.
Last one before I let you go. You mentioned Haley Brown, who we're going to speak with here momentarily. She goes off 4 of 6 from three in a game where everyone else from deep shoots 4 of 28. It seemed like she had that perfect moment where she dropped in a three. What did she mean, not just today, but as a leader, as a senior on this team, to get to this point? Because if it's the first time it's happened and she saw through all the close calls, all the challenges, she's a big part in why you guys got to this point.
She is a huge part, a major, major, major role. And I spoke to it a little bit in the locker room, you know, being from Canada, with the COVID and everything we were going through in March, she wavered on coming back and she was close to opting out a number of times all the way through Christmas. But she said something kept pulling her back here. She felt so strongly about this team that she felt we could win a championship and it kept pulling her back. And thankfully she came back because just her knowledge, her IQ, her leadership, her calm demeanor is something that our team needs. That's one thing. The second thing our team needs is she has the ability to score the basketball. And when we got back from the Big Ten tournament, you know, we met as a group with the starters and we really talked about, you know, what we needed to do to be successful in the NCAA tournament and where we thought we were and what we weren't doing. And I had a private meeting with Haley, you know, and I talked to her, you know, I had her come in and I said, hey, you came back. Like we, you know, you committed to us, you know, what do you think we need? What are you seeing? Because I trust her that much. And we spoke for a really long time. And then we met as a team and we spoke for a really long time, but she needed to be more involved. She's such a great player that we needed to get her hand on the ball more. So that became a point of emphasis of ours in the last week of practice leading up to the tournament, is to really get her involved and to get her touches early and to run things through her, because her decision-making skills are incredible as well. Not only her ability to score, but her decision-making and her experience. So the last couple games, we put in stuff just to make sure that she was getting early touches and she was, having some confidence early and being involved, because she has the ability to do what she's done in the last couple of games. And I think without her, we wouldn't have had the success in this NCAA tournament run that we have had. So she's a rock star. She's a superstar, and she's tremendous. And I'm so happy that you're getting a chance to speak to her and that she's having the tournament that she is.
We asked Coach Howard yesterday if today was laundry day. So I ask you, is tomorrow laundry day?
Well, I have zero clothes left, zero. And they drenched me. So now I have, Brian, I mean, this is for TV here, but I have no socks. My socks are soaked. I have no socks. My feet are freezing. I'm wearing Haley Brown's shirt and somebody else's leftover shorts that our equipment manager could find. They're falling down, so I have to tuck my shirt in because everything is too big. So I hope we're doing laundry tomorrow, or else I'm going to be the smelly kid.
I mean, it might not. You might have to go shopping based on what you're telling me.
We're not allowed out of the bubble.
Yeah.
We can't. I might have done something shipped here, but I can't get out of the bubble.
There's got to be a pecking order. I think you get somebody else's shirt, and they've got to wear the worn-out stuff.
Yes, exactly.
Coach, can't thank you enough for the time. Congratulations. What a thrill to watch, to experience. I can't imagine what the feeling was like for you and that team. And, hey, I know you aren't done yet. I look forward to seeing it coming up this weekend.
Thanks so much, Brian. Thank you.
We transition from the head coach to one of the senior leaders on this team, Haley Brown. I asked Coach, I'll ask you, that buzzer goes off. Everyone converges at center court. What's going through your mind? What are those emotions like?
Can't even put words to it. I before I got subbed back into the game to celebrate with teammates, I had a moment with Coach, and it was like, this is what I came to Michigan for. This is why I wanted to come here. And since the first time I stepped here, I believed in the program and the culture that the coach, that Coach has brought and established, as well as like the coaching staff and the teammates. So just, you know, just being able to say like, I'm playing in the Sweet 16, like I made it to the Sweet 16. It's kind of crazy because it's just everyone's dream. You know, you want to dance, you want to be a part of March Madness. So it's definitely something special.
Coach said that you really had a tough time with fully locking in for this season and committing and not opting out because of the pandemic, because you're from Canada, the family aspect of it, you wouldn't be able to travel back and forth or see them. How close were you, and were the opportunities that you had in this tournament, were those the types of things that brought you back?
Yeah, this year, I mean, it's been tough for everybody. Everyone has had their own personal struggles dealing with COVID, dealing with just the dynamics of how the year has been. And I would have those tough conversations with Coach, and her and I, we have a really great relationship. We're able to speak about, you know, real stuff. And every single time, I just feel like this year we have a special team, and it would always come back to that and being able to make history. And it's a prime example of what we did in today's game of moving on to the next round. And that's all, that was just our conversations. They always just went to, you know what, Coach, I believe in this team. And it always pulled me back.
You said that this is what she came to Michigan for, but it had never been done here. Michigan has had so much success in so many programs, but this was the stopping point and the end point for Michigan women's basketball to this point. When did you feel like this team could be the one to break through? And how did the previous team that you were a part of help to build the foundation for this?
I feel like every year I felt like, you know, we're going to do something special. I don't think it was like this year it wasn't an exact moment. I was away for the summer workout, so I didn't come back until the fall. So I was away from the team from that whole time. And right when I got back with the team, it felt different. It felt different. I'm like, we could do something, especially Leah Brown, the transfer that we had. She has been an incredible part of our team. I just think it wasn't a moment that happened. It was a feeling.
This game was so different in terms of pace, style, flow, compared to that round of 64 matchup with Florida Gulf Coast. When you guys are finishing celebrating that round one win and you start to dig into Tennessee, I mean, there had to have been this feeling of, this is a completely different scout, right? I mean, what's that process like, and how difficult is that to flip the switch, especially with just about a 48-hour stretch?
Yeah, I mean, the timeline is just something that's special about being a part of the tournament, the quick turnarounds. But playing Florida Gulf Coast, we've never seen anything like that. I was telling Coach, like, I've never played against a team, you know, that's all 5L. They don't have a true post player. They shoot the ball a lot. That was different. But I would say that, you know, a team like Tennessee who plays in the SEC, their conference is extremely physical. The style of play, it's different than the Big Ten, but I think it also has many similarities. So I personally felt a little bit better with the matchups that we were going to have, just because it was a little bit familiar to me. Mind you that they had great size, great athleticism, but it was definitely something similar that we've faced all year.
Everyone not named Haley Brown was 4 of 28 from three in this game. You were 4 of 6. Did you feel the momentum shift on those four threes? Because in watching it seemed like they came when Tennessee was starting to build a little bit of momentum, and then you just said, no, not happening today.
Yeah, I mean, my teammates and the coaches have just – at the start of the year, I wasn't shooting the ball the best, so it was a little bit discouraging, but just with the confidence that my teammates and the staff have given me has really helped to, you know, take – my teammates are looking for me. They want me to take that shot. If I don't take those shots, then it actually harms the team. So I just feel like at that – honestly, during the game, I wasn't even paying attention. I was just like – I didn't know how many threes I had. I was just like, I'm open. I got to shoot it. So
yeah. It worked out really well. One of your teammates who I know is one of the heartbeats on this team is AK. And it's not often where you watch a game, you say, wow, she really impacted things. Then you look at the box score and she was 2 of 13 from the floor. But I still felt like in watching that, she was not just an important player, but she was an impact player. How does she affect things defensively, especially in this one tonight?
She is so disruptive on defense. And even Danielle Rauch, you want to talk about not necessarily showing up in the box score. Danielle and AK, they sacrifice their bodies. They are hustlers. They work so hard on defense. And today it showed. It really showed. Danielle got her hand on every single thing. She was diving on the ball. And just with AK's experience and her story, she has given so much to this team.
So now you go to the Sweet 16. It's an incredible accomplishment, but I know you and this team want more. So how long are you giving yourself to enjoy this one? There's still, I know, some games that will take place on Wednesday to round out the Sweet 16, but how long do you give yourself before it's time to refocus on whoever that opponent will be?
I mean, tonight is our night, so we're going to be celebrating, focusing on us, and, you know, tomorrow we got to go back to work. We got to start scouting. We gotta come prepared to play. Baylor and Virginia Tech, they're both tough teams, so we're going to celebrate tonight, enjoy the moment. It's a special moment, but we'll be ready to go these next couple of days for sure.
All right. Give me the number. How many text messages and notifications did you have when you finally got to your phone? I mean, it had to have been high.
That's funny because I picked up my phone and I was talking to Whitney and I was like, oh my gosh, my phone, like I kept on scrolling. I'm like, normally it's not like this, but like, I mean, hey, you make it to the Sweet 16, things change.
That's right. Haley, congratulations. Incredible accomplishment. I know there's more still out there, but enjoy this one tonight.
Thank you so much.
That'll do it for this edition of Defend the Block. Thanks again to Coach Errico and to Haley Brown for stopping by. yeah, what an accomplishment. Just a tremendous team to watch. That was a clinic. It really was. They overwhelmed one of the powers in college basketball and the third-seeded Tennessee Volunteers. We've got plenty more here on MGO Blue Podcasts over the next few days. Thursday, in the trenches, John Jansen catches up with new offensive line coach Sherrone Moore. You know that'll be a juicy conversation with a former old lineman talking to an old line coach. Then Friday, we'll have a preview of Defend the Block as we get set for a big weekend for Michigan men's and women's basketball. We'll have that for you on Friday. Then hopefully, fingers crossed, some more victorious postgame editions coming up over the weekend as the men and women gear up for the Sweet 16. That'll do it for me, Brian Bush. Thanks to Kim Barnes-Arico, Haley Brown, also SID Sarah Van Meter. Appreciate all of her great work as well. That'll do it. Thank you so much for listening, and go Blue.
Thanks for listening to today's edition of Defend the Block, part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network, MGO Blue Podcasts. The preceding is a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.